One very hot summer's day, Skippy decided to go down to the river to have a swim. A lot of people think that kangaroos can't swim, but they can. They dog paddle with their tiny little front paws, with their heads just out of the water. Skippy hopped into the cool water, swam around for a few minutes, and then hopped out again, shook herself dry, and feeling much better, slowly began to make her way back to Ranger headquarters. Suddenly, she stopped. She sat upright, her ears alert and moving, and her nostrils quivering as she sniffed the air. Her head turned this way and that. Yes, there was no doubt about it. She could smell burning bushes and trees, a bushfire. Normally, Skippy would have immediately turned away from the fire and would have run for her life the other way as fast as she could, because all creatures of the bush are frightened of bushfires, which can race through the trees and through the bush so fast that some animals can't run fast enough to get away. Kangaroo can, of course, because they run very fast, sometimes nearly 40 miles an hour. But slow-moving creatures like koala bears and wombats and possums are terrified when a fire sweeps through the bush because they're too slow to escape. And these were the animals Skippy thought about now. She knew that she must find out where the fire was and give the alarm, because it may have just started and perhaps no one knew that it was burning. And so Skippy turned towards the fire, and although she was very frightened, she hopped off towards it. The scent of burning became much stronger, and Skippy knew that the fire must be near. And then, suddenly, she saw it. It was only a small fire so far, and must have just started. But the bush was so dry, and the day was so hot, that in no time it would be a big fire. Already it was racing across the grass towards a big clump of trees. And then Skippy saw him, a small boy running away from the fire. He was looking over his shoulder at the fire. He was looking very frightened indeed. It was almost as though he was saying, "Oh dear, what have I done?" And Skippy guessed that he'd been very, very naughty and had been playing with matches on this very hot day in the bush, and that he had started the fire. Skippy thought quickly. She had to give the alarm as soon as she could. But how? And then suddenly she had an idea. She hopped around the edge of the fire until she was behind the way it was burning, and then she hopped right up to the edge of it. And then Skippy was very brave. Smothering her natural fear of fire, she jumped into the ashes, which were still smoldering, and with her feet she kicked out of the fire a small blackened piece of burnt wood. She let it cool off for a few seconds, and then she picked it up with her paws and put it into a pouch. Was still quite hot and very black and sooty, but she didn't mind that. She knew that it was the quickest way to let Sonny and his father know that a bushfire was burning. And then she made off for Ranger headquarters as fast as she could, which was very fast indeed, as fast as any kangaroo can run. She bounded over the ground at a great speed, and all the animals and birds of the bush looked at Skippy and wondered why she was running so fast on such a hot day. Skippy chattered away in kangaroo language as she ran to warn the other animals that there was a bushfire, and soon the news spread quickly amongst them, and they began to hurry away as fast as they could. Skippy knew that their lives may depend on her to get help to put the fire out, and she went even faster, pushing on the earth with her big, strong tail and leaping over 6 feet with every bound she took along the track to Ranger headquarters. At last she came to the top of the hill and bounded onto the helipad at Ranger headquarters, where Jerry and Mark were working on the helicopter. "Hello, Skip," Jerry said, looking up. "What's all the hurry about on such a boiling day?" But Mark sensed that Skippy was looking for Sonny. "Sonny's over at the house with Dad," he said. Skippy leapt down the path towards the house in 3 great big bounds and nearly knocked Sonny over as he came out of the front door. "Whoa there, Skippy," Sonny said. "What's all the rush? Where's the fire?" Well, Skippy was so surprised that Sonny should ask where the fire was, which is only an expression, of course. When someone is rushing somewhere, you say, "Where's the fire?" that all she could do was to nod her head up and down until it nearly nodded off. "Now, steady, Skippy, calm down," said Sonny. "What are you so excited about? Where have you been? You're puffing like a steam engine." Skippy bent down and took the piece of wood out of her pouch. She gave it to Sonny, who turned it over in his hand and looked at it closely. "It's still hot," he said. And then he realized that it was Skippy's way of giving him a message. He looked up. "You mean there really is a fire?" he said. "A bushfire." Skippy nodded quickly and chattered excitedly. "We must tell Dad straight away, son," he said. He knew how serious a bushfire was. "Come on, Skip. He's in his office." Sonny dashed inside, still holding the piece of burnt wood, and Skippy followed. "Dad, Dad," Sonny shouted as he ran into the office, "there's a bushfire. Skippy just told me." Matt Hammond looked up from his work. "How do you mean Skippy just told you?" he asked. "Look," Sonny said, "this bit of wood. She brought it to me. It's still warm from a fire." Matt Hammond took the piece of wood, looked at it, and then quickly looked up at Skippy. He could tell that she'd been running a long way, and he knew how wise and clever she was. He realized that this was her way of giving the alarm that there was a bushfire burning somewhere. He quickly picked up the telephone on his desk and dialed 000. "Fire, police, or ambulance?" Sonny heard the person the other end ask. "Fire," his father said. "Give me bushfire headquarters. It's an emergency." Then he said to Sonny, "Run and tell Jerry that there's a bushfire and that he and Mark must take off immediately in the helicopter to report where it is." Sonny dashed out and Skippy followed him. They ran up to the helipad and gave Jerry and Mark the message. "Right," Jerry said. "We'll be ready for takeoff in two thumps of Skippy's tail. So that's what it was all about, Skip. What a clever girl you are." And he and Mark hurried to prepare the helicopter for takeoff. Matt came running out of Ranger headquarters and jumped into the fire truck, which was always kept near the house. It was an open truck with a big tank full of water in the back, which was always there for an emergency just like this. "You can come, Sonny," he called out. "Skippy can show us the way." And then he called out to Jerry, "You radio Bushfire Brigade headquarters as soon as you spot the fire, Jerry, and tell them where it is." "Right, Matt," Jerry called back. He and Mark climbed into the cockpit and quickly put on their safety belts. Jerry pushed the starter button and the big blades of the helicopter started to whir around. "Now, Skip, show us the way," Sonny whispered into Skippy's ear. Skippy knew exactly what she had to do and she hopped off to lead the way along the road. She knew that she'd have to work out the quickest way to the fire by road. It would take longer than the path that she had taken through the bush, and the truck would have to go off the road later and along a fire trail, which was a rough clearing made in the bush to try to stop fire spreading. The helicopter took off and flew over their heads. By helicopter was the best way of all to see a fire, of course, and was one very important reason why a helicopter was kept at Ranger headquarters. Inside the cabin of the helicopter, Jerry pulled back the control stick to gain height as quickly as he could and see where the fire was. "There it is," Mark said, "down by the river and coming this way." Jerry picked up the hand microphone from the radio set, clicked it on and said, "Calling Fire Brigade Headquarters, this is Waratah Park Helicopter, HVB-65, reporting a bushfire near the river, north-northeast from Ranger Headquarters, approximately 345 degrees, distance about 5 miles. It's on a front of almost a mile and traveling fast. Over." There was an immediate crackle from the radio loudspeaker and a voice said, "HVB-65, message received. Sending fire engines immediately. Please stay in the air and report any change of direction of the fire. Over and out." Meantime, Skippy had left the road and was leading the truck down a rough track towards the river. She was jumping fast downhill, and it was as much as Matt could do to keep up with her in the truck. It was terribly hot and bumpy in the cabin of the truck, and Sonny had to hold on to stop his head from hitting the roof. Matt looked out at the bush either side of the truck. Hadn't rained for weeks. Everything was terribly dry, and Matt knew that if the fire wasn't stopped, it would race through the bush and trees and could easily go right up to Ranger headquarters. Sonny knew what he was thinking and could tell by the worried expression on his father's face that it was very serious. And Sonny was worried too. He knew what a terrible thing a bushfire was, and he couldn't help thinking of all the wild animals fleeing from it, and also of their own animals in the quarantine holding station at Waratah Park, because the fire might go right up there. Now they left the track and they went along the fire trail. This was much more bumpy than the track, and the truck had to slow down. If only they could see the fire. But the bush was so tall on either side of them that it blocked their view. Skippy stopped. She could smell the fire now, and she knew that it wouldn't be safe for Matt and Sonny to go any further. "We'll get out here and climb that little hill," Matt said. "We'll be able to see the fire from there." As they jumped out of the truck, they could feel the heat of the fire on their faces, and they could hear the flames crackling in the trees. Sonny felt frightened. Suppose it was much nearer than they thought and swept over them before they could escape. But he put the thought out of his mind and followed his father up the hill. Now they could see the fire about a mile away. The red flames licking into the blue sky and the black smoke made it look both a beautiful and a horrible sight. "We leave the truck here and start fighting it from this end," Matt said. "Help me get the gear out." As they were getting the hoses and things out of the truck, they heard the sirens of the fire engines approaching the fire from the road which they had come along in the truck. "They can't get down here. They'll have to fight it from the other end," Matt said, connecting the hoses to the water tank in the truck. "Now come on, Sonny, you take this one." Matt grabbed an axe out of the truck, and they both ran through the bushes with the hoses towards the fire. Skippy went ahead of them. She could go much faster through the bush than they could, of course, and she wanted to see where the fire engines were. And so she raced along in front of the fire and had almost gone a mile when she came to a very tall gum tree. Something made Skippy look up into the branches of this tall tree, and it was just as well she did, because right up at the very top of the tree, she saw 5 koala bears. Skippy stopped. She knew that the koala bears had climbed to the very top of the tallest tree they could find, because that was all they could do to try and protect themselves from the fire. They couldn't possibly move fast enough to run away from it. But Skippy also knew that it was quite hopeless for them to avoid a fierce fire like this. The flames would go right up to the top of this tree in a few minutes, and they'd all be burnt alive. Somehow she had to save them. Should she go back to Mr. Hammond and Sonny for help, or go on to the fire engines? She decided that it would be better to go back to Mr. Hammond and Sonny, because she at least knew where they were, and it would be easier to make them understand and follow her to the tree. But would there be time? She looked at the fire. It was coming closer. It was only about 400 yards away now, and it was coming straight for the tree. Skippy turned around and set off as fast as she could go. Hop, 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 she thudded over the grass, wondering how she could tell Sonny that there were some koalas high up in a tree, and how would Sonny and Mr. Hammond get them down? Just then, she heard a familiar noise and looked up into the sky. The helicopter was right above her. "I wonder why Skippy's going back to Dad so fast," Mark said to Jerry in the helicopter. "I don't know," said Jerry. "Let's follow her and see." Suddenly, on the ground, Skippy had an idea. She stopped and looked up at the helicopter, and then she turned around and started to hop back towards the tree. "Hello, she's going back," Mark said. "What on earth's the matter with her?" "I've got an idea. She wants us to follow her," Jerry said. "Let's find out." He banked the helicopter and turned it in a circle to follow Skippy on her way back to the tree. This was just what Skippy wanted, of course. If only she could make Mark and Jerry see the koalas, they could radio to Mr. Hammond, which would be much quicker. She raced back to the tree, and when she reached it, she began to jump around the tree in circles. "I think she wants to show us something," Mark said, "in that tree. Can you go down closer?" Jerry looked at the fire. It was only about 100 yards from the tree now. "All right," he said. "We'll get a bit warm." He took the helicopter down, and he and Mark coughed as the smoke from the fire came into the cabin. "Look," Mark said. "There are some koala bears in the tree. We must radio Dad." Jerry picked up the hand microphone. "Calling Senior. Helicopter calling Senior," which, of course, was the word that they always used trying to get hold of Matt. "Come in, please." Matt Hammond heard the call sign over the walkie-talkie he always carried in his top pocket. He took it out and put up the aerial. "Come in, Jerry. What is it? Over," he said into the microphone. "Skippy has shown us a tree with some koalas in it. They've climbed to the top branches to try to get away from the fire, but they won't have a chance, of course. The fire will be up to the tree in a few minutes. You and Sonny are closer to it than the firemen. I'll hover over the tree so to guide you to it. Over." Matt spoke into the walkie-talkie. "Message received, Jerry. We'll come straight over. Radio the fire engines and tell them to send some men with a blanket." "Right, Mac. Over and out," Jerry said. He then used the radio to get in touch with the fire engines with the message about the men and the blanket. Matt and Sonny dropped their hoses and ran towards where the helicopter was hovering above them in the sky. "I'll go on, Sonny. You follow as fast as you can," Matt said, and he dashed on ahead. Sonny couldn't keep up with his father, of course, but the thought of those poor koalas made him run faster than he'd ever run in his life. When Mr. Hammond reached the tree, the fire was only 50 yards away and burning so fiercely that he could hardly stand the heat of it. It was so hot. "Good girl, Skippy," he said. Then he swung his axe and started to cut into the trunk of the tree. By the time Sonny arrived, he'd already cut well into the trunk, but the fire was very close now and smoke was blowing all over the tree. As Sonny watched his father swing the axe fast, cutting down the tree, there suddenly came a crashing noise in the bush behind them, and through the smoke, they saw a red fire engine burst through the bushes, knocking down the small trees and scrub in its path. Two men jumped from the side of the fire engine with big hoses and started to play water on the fire, which was nearly right up to the tree by now. It was the best sight that Sonny had ever seen in his life. The men were just in time because the fire would have swept over all of them if they hadn't arrived. Two other firemen jumped from the driving cabin of the fire engine, holding a blanket. They spread it out, and one of the men told Sonny to hold one of the corners. "Which side will the tree fall, Matt?" one of the men asked. "That way," Matt nodded with his head, "towards a smaller tree some yards away. I'll cut it so that it comes down on that small tree to break the fall." The fireman and Sonny took the blanket under the smaller tree and held it spread out. Mr. Hammond was nearly exhausted, but he swung the axe with one big last blow. The tree creaked, and then it began to fall. "Look out, look out, it's coming down," Matt called out, and he ran back to hold the other corner of the blanket. The big tree seemed to wobble in the air for a moment, and then it toppled over and fell with a great crash into the branches of the smaller tree. Sonny put his hands up to protect himself from the broken branches which came tumbling down, but he was able to see four koalas come falling down through the tree into the blanket. He looked up for the other bear and saw that it was still clinging to a branch of the big tree high up above the smaller tree. "Quick, Sonny," Matt said. "You're a good tree climber. You go up and get that koala." Sonny sprang up into the lower branches of the smaller tree, helped by one of the firemen, and he started to climb up to the top as quickly as he could. The smoke was so thick now that it was choking him, and he could see the flames licking through the branches of the tree, which was next to the one that he was climbing. But he kept his eye on the koala bear and gradually drew nearer to him. Branch cracked under him and he nearly fell. He realized that he was feeling faint from the smoke and the heat, but he had to reach that koala. At last he came to the branch the koala was on, and he slowly inched his way along it, hoping that it would hold his weight. Little by little he got closer to the koala, and then he was able to put out his hand and touch him. The little bear was trembling with fright. Sonny was used to handling koalas, and he pulled himself closer so that he could carefully take the bear's claws away from the branch. But the poor little creature was so terrified that he was clinging onto the branch for dear life, and Sonny couldn't undo his grip. "Hurry, Sonny," Matt called out. "We haven't any more time." Sonny desperately tugged at the bear's legs, but he was too weak to pull his claws away from the branch. He looked down at the blanket. The fire was so close now and the smoke so thick that he knew he might faint at any moment. He knew, too, that he hadn't the strength to pull the koala away from the branch, and so there was only one thing to do. He began to rock up and down on the branch. He shut his eyes and rocked the branch as hard as he could. Suddenly there was a crack and then a tearing noise and then a sharp crack again, and the branch broke. Sonny and the koala were falling through the air together. Sonny held onto the koala. He felt himself spinning around as he fell, and then he couldn't remember anything more. When he woke up, he was in his own bed, and his father was looking down at him. "Hello, old chap," he said. "You're all right now. You and the koala made a perfect landing in the blanket. You were overcome by the smoke. We brought you straight back here. There's no need to worry. The fire's under control now." Just then, Sonny felt something cold against his cheek. He knew what it was, and he put his hand out to stroke Skippy and to thank her for the nuzzle. "Thanks to Skippy and you, all the koalas are safe and happy. In fact, if you sit up, you can see them." Sonny sat up in his bed, and sure enough, he could see the koalas on a gum tree outside his window. "We thought you'd like them to be near you," said his father, "and we thought that they might like to be near you and Skippy too." Sonny smiled and looked at them again. And as he did, it seemed to him that the little koalas looked in at the window as though to say, "Thank you," in between munches of gum leaves. That's the end of the story. Almost, but not quite. Because the next day, the fire brigade chief visited the park. and he had with him a man and the small boy Skippy had seen when the fire began. "This is Mr. Smith, and this is his son Jimmy," the fire brigade chief said to Mr. Hammond. "Jimmy has been very naughty. He was playing with matches yesterday when his father and mother took him for a picnic, and he started the bushfire. His father very wisely brought him along to see me. I've told him how very serious the fire could have been and how it endangered the lives of animals and could have endangered the lives of humans. As it is, it's burnt a great deal of beautiful bushland. I brought him up here to show him the koalas who nearly died in the fire and would have died if it hadn't been for Skippy and Sonny." Well, Jimmy learned his lesson. He was very, very sorry for what he had done. And one thing is certain, he will never play with matches again, especially on a picnic on a very hot and dry summer's day.
Child. She loved the bush, the flowers, the trees, the singing birds, the humming bees. Skippy the kangaroo. Skippy the kangaroo, yes, Skippy the kangaroo. Skippy could do so many things no other roo could do. Bounding over the mountains and over the plains too. A glorious sight when in full fight was Skippy the kangaroo. Sound. She loved all the animals too, and right from wrong she always knew. Skippy the kangaroo. Skippy the kangaroo, yes, Skippy the kangaroo. Skippy could do so many things no other roo could do.